May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 133. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. In 133. Readings this evening from God's holy word, two portions from the Psalms. First, Psalm 32, and then Psalm 73. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And now, Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Amen. May the Lord bless that portion of his holy word to our souls and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, thy good mercy and compassion that thou hast spared us once more together in thy earthly courts here. And as we gather this evening, we pray thou wilt remove from us all distracting thoughts and cares, the many things that each one has been occupied in the past hours of the day, and that we may be under the sweet influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit in pulpit, in desk and in pew, and that we may be favoured with a true spirit of worship. For thou hast said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, do bless to us thy holy word that we have read together. May we have the religion of the dear psalmist of old, and be truly taught of thee. May we be found in that narrow way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. We pray that we might each be rightly exercised and concerned regarding our souls and where we shall spend eternity. And oh, may eternity be a tremendous sound to us each, Lord. And oh, that we may be ever pleading and wrestling with thee to blot out all our sin, our many transgressions. Oh, we pray that thou wilt Grant us grace to acknowledge our sin before thee as the dear psalmist did, and come pleading for mercy. Lord, we would venture with the dear hymn writer's words, "Mercy, through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me." You know, it's those that sin is a great burden to them. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt draw near and favour each sin-sick soul with a sweet taste of thy mercy. That mercy that has brought us again. The one said mercy that is transportingly sweet. And oh, may we be washed, dear Lord, in that precious fountain of thy precious blood, and be made white in the blood of the Lamb. And oh, Lord, do give us grace to endure to the end, to hold on our way. Pray for those fresh supplies of grace to be given to us, that we might persevere. Oh, ever keep us from making a shipwreck of faith. May we, Lord, never be left to be weighed in the balances when we come to die and be found wanting. May there be in our hearts that real religion which thou alone canst give. And may we be given grace to make our calling and our election sure. And, O Lord, do prepare us for the great day of death and a vast eternity. Lord, we know not what a day or an hour or a moment will bring forth. And thou hast said, "Be ye also ready." Oh, may we be like the wise virgins and be ready. Have our lamps filled and trimmed, waiting for thy coming. Oh, may the hymn writer's prayer be our fervent petition each day, Lord. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, we would commit to thee, thy dear people. Thou knowest how each one has gathered this evening. Thou knowest the down sittings and the uprisings of each one, Lord. Knowest our thoughts afar off. Oh, we pray that we may have those right thoughts of thee, and that a precious Jesus may be to us the one thing that is needful, the chiefest among 10,000, and the altogether lovely. Oh, do strengthen our little faith, we do pray, dear Lord. May we have that stronger faith and have those sweet glimpses by faith of thyself. And oh, that we may have that faith given to look alone to thee, that our eyes might look right on and our eyelids straight before. We may always be keeping Christ in view, for he will bring you safely through. And O Lord, who remove all our doubts, thou knowest how plagued by unbelief we are, and those many fears that arise in the hearts of thy people. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt so enliven and enlighten us in faith and in love to thee. Help us to love thee more. Lord, who visit our souls, Lord, we mourn because so often our love is so cold and faint. But oh, we do thank thee that when thou dost visit our hearts with thy love, it does kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. And Lord, we pray that there may be those here, and may we each know it personally, immersed in thy love. And Lord, that there may be those to run in thy ways and keep thy commandments and live. And may the love of Christ yet constrain others to venture while there's room. For thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. One said 'twas the same love that spread the feast, that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. Oh, we pray that thou wilt grant a sweet time of refreshing in our souls, and thy love fill our hearts. Do remember, Lord, those that are in affliction's pathway. We think of several, Lord, that we know laid aside. Those that are to undergo surgery, Lord, and those that are in deep affliction. Oh, we pray thou wilt so sanctify these things to them. And if it's thy will, send that needed healing. Lord, if it's thy will that affliction should abound, we do seek for grace to bear it. And oh, may we be led by faith to bear a little of the afflictions thou didst endure. And oh, we pray that our hearts may be softened, that we may be truly tender, that we may be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. To help those that walk in crooked paths and strange and mysterious ways, we pray that thou wilt fulfill thy sweet promise, I will make the crooked things straight, and the rough places plain, and the darkness light. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Be with those that may feel forsaken, Lord. We pray thou wilt so draw near, and sweetly assure them that thou hast not forsaken them. Those that are fearful do grant, Lord, amidst all their fears, a fear not, to calm their troubled breasts. And oh, we pray for the souls that are bound and shut up and long to come forth. We pray thou would hasten the day when thou wilt set thy people free. Thou wilt liberate their hearts, that they may praise thy holy name. Lord, do be with those that have heavy burdens. Do help them each to cast them upon thee, to leave them at thy dear feet. For thou hast promised to manage all by the way and to the end. O Lord, do remember the dear children, those that gather, and the dear little ones on thy day. We pray that thou wilt visit them while in early days. Thou wilt fulfill thy sweet promise. It is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. And oh, may there be many here among the dear children and young people brought to bear that yoke in their youth, and to both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Who bless the dear young people, and help them to look to thee, Lord, for everything, both in providence and in grace, and may they have that real hunger and thirst in their heart for thee and thy word. May they be kept, Lord, from all the dangers there are in this solemn day. And may they be raised up to be pillars in thy house in their day and generation. Hear the prayers of godly parents for their offspring, we beseech thee. Send down those answers of peace. And oh, do remember those that hope to marry this year, Lord, and in the days to come. We pray thou wilt be very near to them, and do abundantly bless their relationship and their marriage day. May it be a day appointed from heaven, and thy smile and blessing rest upon it. And oh, may they be blessed together, both in the natural things and especially in the vital things of God. And oh, do remember, dear Lord, our dear age friends. We think of our dear friend in her great weakness and old age now, that thou wilt visit her in these reclining days, and many others, Lord. And may they have the sweet witness of the Spirit that it is well with them. And, O Lord, may it please thee to draw near to any that feel to be at the ends of the earth. Help them to look and give them that faith to look toward thee and thy holy temple. Who bless the church here and grant them, Lord, that real travail in our own church at home, that there may be yet a bringing forth of Zion's offspring. For thou hast said, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. We pray that there may be many born again, and that there might be a bringing in from this village, those that shall begin to be in want. And oh, that there may be an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the place. And may Zion be prospered and built up, Lord. And may this house of prayer and our own house of prayer at home be the house of God to many, the gateway to heaven. Who bless thy servants and help them as they labour here and throughout Zion. And may they be thy messengers in thy message. And may, Lord, there be real fruit following the preaching of the word. We do pray that thou wilt bless the deacons here and give them all needed wisdom and grace in all things, and bless the hymns they give out. And do remember this nation in all its wickedness and sin. Oh, do turn us as a land, Lord, and we shall be turned. Save us and we shall be saved. Who pour thy Spirit out, we pray, and hear the silent petitions of those that sigh and cry, over the abominations done in the land. And may our leaders and rulers be brought to fear thee, and the royal family and our queen too, and set a right example in the land. And may there yet be a real turning to the Lord. And help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies in providence and in grace. We would love and praise thee more. And help us, Lord, from our hearts to bless thy holy name. Who anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. May we be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message this night. And may there be a true spirit of healing. Empty, send us not away. We ask these poor breathings in the precious name of Jesus, seeking the pardon of all our many sins, for his great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 149. There is a friend who sticketh fast and keeps his love from first to last, and Jesus is his name. An earthly brother drops his hold, is sometimes hot and sometimes cold, but Jesus is the same. Hymn 149.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 73 and the 24th verse. Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Dear psalmist Asaph was wonderfully taught by the Lord his poverty, his emptiness, how frail he was, and that without the Lord he could do nothing. And he realised that, and we read of it this evening, how prone his feet were to slip. But there was one that alone could help him in it all, and that was his God, who never changes, who is the same as we've been singing yesterday, today and forever. And the first thing we would name is this, that though he saw the poverty and emptiness in his own heart, and how foolish he was, he saw the solemn state of the wicked and the prosperity they had. But oh, how he didn't realise their solemn state until, and we read of it this evening, he said this, then I thought, to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. He solemnly saw what the end of the wicked would be. You know, it's possible for us to sit under the sound of a God sent ministry all our days and yet never know savingly that vital truth in our own hearts. And the solemn issue when we come to die, if we know not the Lord and we are out of Christ. The hymn writer said, out of Christ almighty power can do nothing but devour. But in seeking the Lord for a word to bring before you this evening, early this morning, these words of our text seem to drop in with a measure of power. And, you know, dear Asaph, in all the poverty and emptiness that he felt to be in his heart was a grain of living faith to look out of himself, out of this world, to the Lord, and to believe what he uttered here, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And faith in him, truly believe that through the remainder of his life, and may it be so with each of us, thou shalt guide me. We don't read, he said, well, the Lord may guide us, or perhaps he will, or as the professors of religion say, well, if you do this and do that, he will guide you. We don't find that in dear Asaph. He said, thou shalt. There's a, you know, there's a wonderful certainty with faith. It's not a presumptuous certainty. It's faith in gracious exercise, believing what he uttered here, dear Asaph. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Well, may the Lord help us to look a little into it. First of all, do you feel tonight, and maybe you felt much through the day, the great need of the Lord to guide you? You see, we're often so blind, aren't we? So helpless. And when we are blinded by unbelief, by Satan and by sin and the worldliness in us, we stagger around. We need a heavenly guide to guide us in that narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. I was thinking upon the word, you know, this afternoon, and I thought of, there's an old lady lives close to us in Sussex, and she's blind. And she's got a blind dog, a dog to guide her. And I thought how many times I've watched her going for walks, and I thought, you know, how dependent she is upon that dog because of her blindness. And I thought about it much this afternoon, you know, in our souls, in our pathways, we seem so often so blind, don't we? We cannot see our way. We need a guide. And that guide we've been singing of sweetly this evening, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the dear Lord Jesus. You see, he says here, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And it seemed to come to me, well, this blessed counsel the Lord was to guide dear Asaph with the whole Trinity of God, all involved in this guiding. You know, we hear much in this solemn day of councils being set up to deal with this situation and that situation. But you know, and may our leaders be brought to view, there is a blessed council in heaven. The heavenly counselor to guide, to direct in all things. And there may be those of you that need the Lord to guide you, and you young people in the steps of providence. And one look back, as this text came upon me, how wonderfully the Lord guided us over the years in our work, in our providential pathway, in our steps. And you know, it's very humbling to see the Lord's guiding hand, even in the things of providence. Those of you in business, you need him to guide you into what is right. And we need guiding from what is wrong, don't we? We've got an old nature that's prone to sin and prone to depart from the Lord, prone to worldliness and carnality. But oh, to be guided away from it. And may we, and I hadn't thought of this, but may we be guides to many. They watch our steps, the world, do you know? Those of you that may have to work with those in the world, you know, you don't have to talk religion as some do. It's the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, and thou watch your steps, and thou, and what a mercy it is if we are of some guide to them, what is right and what is wrong. But afar above this, there's that heavenly guide, the Lord himself. We read, didn't we, and it was the desire of dear David in the psalm. And what did he pray? And how many times David needed to pray the Lord would guide him and direct him. What do we find him saying here? The Lord speaking of what he would do. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Not what your flesh wants to go in or mine. The way the Lord would have you go. You think, and we read it here when we were here last, and we, that beautiful 24th chapter of Genesis. And you think how the Lord wonderfully guided Abraham's servant in going forth to seek a wife for Isaac. And you look how he guided him in prayer. And do we not need the Lord to guide us in prayer, to ask for what is right in his sight? Not what we think we want. There's a vast difference between that when we're in need from those things that we just want. You often hear a little child saying, Mummy, I want this or I want that. But many times they don't need it. But it's what we really need. And you see, Abraham's servant needed the Lord to guide him how to pray. And those of us that try and pray in public, and I mourn so much the poverty of my poor prayers. But oh, to be guided to ask for what is the Lord's will and what he was would have us do and what is best for us. And this is a good prayer. Lord, do guide me. So he says here, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And you look at Abraham's servant, how the Lord guided him in the steps to go and seek Rebekah. And you look how wonderfully the Lord guided him to the house of Laban and Bethuel. He didn't go there lightly, you know. You know, these things won't be a light matter to your heart and mine if we truly fear the Lord. You arise in the morning and the day before you, and sometimes there's many mountains through it and many things to exercise you. Lord, do guide me right through it. Don't leave me to walk alone. You know, the great exercise of Abraham's servant was that he might not go in vain and that he might not go in sparks of his own kindling, but sweetly go under the direction of heaven, guided by the Lord. And you look how the Lord guided him. And then you think of your poor prayers tonight and mine. Do we not need, Lord, guide us to what to ask for, and guide us to know thy will and how we should venture on in the journey? It's a good prayer, you know. I tried to preach on that sweet line Sunday afternoon concerning the Lord Jesus, where he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And you go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and what did he pray there? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And oh, you seek the Lord to guide you to do his will, you see. Men may rebel against it, your own deceitful heart may, but poor soul, if you do, you're guided and directed by his holy will, the Lord will smile upon you. Oh, he will. solemn thing when we walk under his frown, isn't it? And then he goes further here. He says, I will guide thee with mine eye. Now this is what the Lord promised David he would do. He would instruct him. He would teach him. He would guide him. And those three vital things, your poor soul and mine will need continually if we truly fear the Lord. And then, do we not need to be guided by the Lord in real humble confession? You know, the dear publican was taught by the Lord his sinnership and his vileness. And under that solemn sentence of death and of sin within him, how the Lord wonderfully guided him and directed him to confess his many sins before the Lord. And how the Lord guided him to pray for mercy and to plead for mercy. I love that couplet of the hymn. May the Lord speak it to your poor heart and mine tonight. No sinner yet has ever been empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. He will not send them back empty. He didn't the publican, did he? And you look how the Lord guided him to look out of himself heavenward. We tried to look at it a little last night at the prayer meeting, didn't we? Now Jehoshaphat came to that place when the Amorites and the Moabites and those from Mount Seir came against him and against Israel. He says, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. The Lord was guiding him heavenward, giving him that faith to look above himself to him who was able to work wondrously for him. So he says here, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. But then when you come into seasons where sin weighs heavy upon you, and how can you venture on? Lord, I'm so polluted, I'm so weighed down by sin, I'm plagued by the devil, I'm hounded on every side. Well, poor soul, there is a blessed place to look and to seek for guidance. And look at the publican, how the Lord wonderfully blessed him, guided him to, and may we be guided there, to that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. You know, the blackest, the vilest of sinners will be guided to the Lord, to that blessed fountain where they'll be washed from all sin. We sing, don't we? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, and are to be guided there by the Lord, and to know that sweet cleansing and the removing of all that sin that weighs you down. And oh, what a token it'll be to your soul, because as the sin is removed, love will flow into your poor heart. Love to the dear Redeemer for all that he accomplished at Calvary. Love to your soul. Oh, I think of those beautiful words when Jesus spoke them, didn't he, concerning the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And you know how they all went out. And he said to the woman, "Woman, where are thine accusers? They were all gone. He that is without sin, you say, let him cast the first stone." And what did Jesus say? "Neither do I condemn thee." And the Lord, you know, was to guide her to that precious fountain where she should be washed from all sin. Oh, it's a precious place, isn't it? There are those, Lord, are saying, "Lord, tonight, do guide me to that precious fountain. Wash all my sins away." Think of that beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah. "Come now. Just as you are, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet," you say, "Lord, that's just how they are." And this is what the Lord has said: "They shall be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You know, wool's soft, isn't it? Sin is hard. Look at the exchange. Whiter than snow and as wool. The sinner's heart will be so melted, so tender, because all that sin that they've been hardened in is all removed, and it all flows through the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, to be guided to that precious fountain. And you know, the Lord will do it with each one of his dear people. He may not say a word. I remember the late Mr. Morris was at Clifton, saying many years ago now, he said, "You know, many of God's dear children plead and long for the Lord to say to them that their sin is forgiven. But," he said, "beloved friends, sometimes he doesn't say a word. But what does he do? He kisses their sin away, so it's all gone." And I thought how sweet that was. Let me prove it to you from the Word of God. What did the spouse say in the Song of Solomon? "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." She further went on to say, didn't she, "His mouth is most sweet." You see, when he kissed her, it was a kiss of love, and he kissed all her sin away. And his mouth was most sweet, and it will be to your poor heart when the Lord guides you there. You may say, "Oh, that I may obtain it." Well, poor soul, think of what's in our text. "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." And he'll guide you to that precious fountain, you say, that's open. What for? For sin and for uncleanness. And you'll say, "Lord, that's just how I am. I may have said to you before, but you know, Whitfield said on one occasion when he had two in his congregation that lived in such extreme sin and been rejected by the world and even by Satan, and they crept in to hear Mr. Whitfield preach. The Lord had guided them there. They weren't there by chance. And he said during his sermon, "Friends, Christ came into this world to save the devil's castaways." And that's just where they were. And you know, the Lord so blessed them there, and he raised them up to be faithful pillars in Whitfield's church. May the Lord, in this dark and solemn day, and it's been with me so much of late, fulfill that beautiful promise in Isaiah. The Lord said, I will bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And may the Lord do it in this dark day in which we live. We need to plead it, don't we? That such characters may be brought to the feet of Jesus, or to be guided to his dear feet. You think of dear Mary and the Word of God. The Lord loved Martha, but he loved Mary. And you look at how the Lord guided dear Mary to his feet, to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it may be he brings upon you some affliction or some deep trial, and you say, Lord, why has all this come? What am I going to do in it all? I feel it'll destroy me and bring me to the ends of the earth. It may be his holy will, poor soul, to guide you into this, to bring you to sit at the feet of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, poor soul, if I know anything about it at all, you will be able to praise and bless his holy name for all that you've had to go through to come to that sacred place, to sit at his feet, like legion, clothed and in his right mind. And you look how the Lord guided him out of those tombs, out of all the deadness, and guided him to the feet of Jesus. You know, the Lord never makes a mistake in guiding his dear children. We make many, don't we? But the Lord will never make a mistake in guiding his dear children. He'll guide them to himself, and he'll have all their heart and all their soul. And he'll bring you to be able to say what's in the verse following our text. It's a beautiful word. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none that I desire upon the earth beside thee. Oh, what a blessed place to be found. And there, oh, the dear psalmist David and Asaph, they knew it by sweet experience. I must go further. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And then, oh, to be guided in the sacred steps and commandments of the Lord's house. Guided by the Lord. It seemed to be with me, and I won't just mention it, that of dear Philip, you know, when he preached in Samaria, the Lord wonderfully blessed him there. He was guided there by the Lord. But you know, the Lord was to guide him further, not into a place that was pleasing for his flesh or for any man. He was to guide him down to Gaza, which was desert. And you know, in a desert, there's very little life, is there? Everything is dried up and parched. There's no doubt the dear man would have said in his heart, Lord, why have I got to go down there? It's a barren land. But oh, what did the Lord say to him? Arise, go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. And look at the willingness of the dear man. You see, when the Lord guides us, he'll make us willing to do what he tells us. Oh, he will. I love that word in the 110th Psalm, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And when the Lord manifests that power like he did to dear Philip, he was willing to obey it. And he went, didn't he? You look how the Lord guided him. And then he guided him down there, and there was the eunuch reading in the prophecy of Isaiah in the chariot. And look how the Lord guided him to that chariot. Go near, join thyself to this chariot. And then you look how the eunuch, as he was reading that 53rd of Isaiah, couldn't understand it, how the Lord was to guide Philip, to direct him. And what do we read? He opened his mouth, Philip did. You know, when he guides us to open our mouth, we should. But if he guides us to shut our mouth, we should. But he guided him to open his mouth. And he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, to be guided in the word of God. Let us just tarry upon that, you know. When you're in need, whether it's in providence, in your soul, in affliction, or whatever you may be in tonight, you seek the Lord to guide you to a word from himself. Guide you to a word from himself. And oh, some of you could look back tonight, couldn't you? How many times when you've been in deep need and you said, Lord, do guide me to a word, or guide thy servant into my heart, into my pathway, into all that I'm in. It's a wonderful thing, this guiding, isn't it? Thou shalt guide me. And may the Lord strengthen your faith and mine to believe that, like he did with Philip, to believe the Lord will. You see, there's a wonderful certainty, as I said at the beginning, there is a wonderful certainty in faith. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And here, dear Asaph didn't just utter this as a matter of words. He truly believed it. Thou shalt guide me. And some of you could look back how the Lord has guided you into this sanctuary and guided you to read the sacred word of God and guided you to hear the word of God in sincerity and in truth. But you look how wonderfully Philip was guided to direct the eunuch to look alone to the dear Redeemer. In all his hope was in the precious Jesus. And then how he guided the eunuch into the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house. You know, I've often thought, and just say it in passing, but, you know, we don't read the Philip preached baptism to him at all. But they came to that certain water. You know, they were guided to that certain water. When I was baptised in 1963... the dear servant of God, the late Mr. Mulvey, preached from that word, they came unto a certain water. And as they came to that certain water, what did the eunuch say? See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And the Lord wonderfully guided that dear eunuch right into that water. I shall never forget hearing dear Mr. Mulvey preach right on that sacred subject some few weeks before he baptised me. But it was very remarkable because He hardly ever preached on baptism, and it was so laid in my heart, and I went up to the house of God, Lord, if it's real, and of thee this exercise I have, then cause the dear servant of God to preach on it. And really, naturally speaking, I was asking for an impossibility, but do guide him right into what I'm in. And he read that sacred third chapter of Matthew on the baptism of the dear Saviour. And that dear man, and I've never forgot it, his text was this: I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then he took the following verse as well, whose fan is in his hand, and he will throughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And you know, as I sat there and listened to the dear man, you know, he preached me right into the water. And I've never forgot it, you know. And you see, we need this heavenly guide in every step. And then we think too of the Lord's servants. You know, we need the Lord to guide us to a text. And you know, I could relate many instances where in strangest of circumstances, the Lord's given me a text to bring before the people. And the reason he brings his servants into sometimes some very strange experiences to give them the word of God to take to the people. And that guidance we so need, you see. And how many times when you come up here on the Lord's Day or in the week, you say, Lord, do guide me. Guide thy servant into what I'm in, that he might preach unto me a precious Jesus. Guide him. It's a good prayer, you know. And oh, how many times you haven't been disappointed, have you? The Lord has guided him into exactly what you're in. And you sit amazed at the Lord's goodness. But then the servant of God needs guiding, you see, and his exercise in the preaching of the word. So often I get up and though I might have had sweet meditation, I particularly find it in my own pulpit at home, I've had sweet meditation upon the word, but you know, so often I venture with the word and the Lord directs me in a completely different way. And why? Because there's some poor soul there in it, you see. And we need guiding right through every sermon. You know, what troubles me is this, that we may preach a good sermon, many of the Lord's servants do, but does it come where the hearers are? This is the vital thing. So often it's an exercise of my heart, Lord, may I come right where those dear souls are. And then, you see, it'll be profitable and the Lord will be glorified in it all. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And then he goes further, doesn't he? There's many other ways I could look at this. Thou shalt guide me. And you think of in your providential pathway tonight, in your soul, in your circumstance, thou shalt guide me. If nothing tonight, may the Holy Spirit whisper that to your soul and lay it deep in your heart. Lord, do guide me. We think of that beautiful hymn. It dropped in really and confirmed the text to me, which is often sung at funerals, and too can be sung at weddings, because it's a precious hymn, isn't it? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, and you are, poor soul, aren't you? But what does he say? But thou art mighty. Just as the psalmist says, thou shalt guide me. What to a mighty God who is able to do for you far exceeding abundantly than you can ask or even think. Hold me with thy powerful hand, bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Open thou the crystal fountain, whence the healing streams do flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. And then we come, each of us, as we consider this in closing, down to the end. Thou shalt guide me. He that has guided you, poor soul, through life will guide you safely through the swellings of Jordan. He never takes up his dear child and then leaves them. They may feel forgotten from time to time. They may be like those in Isaiah's day that feel forsaken, feel forgotten. But he never forgets his dear children. He that will guide them right through and land them safe above. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of deaths and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. What does our text say? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and then listen, and afterward. There's an afterward. How will it be with you? How will it be with me? The world think when they die, it's the end of everything. There's an afterward. Eternity. We shall either spend it, and I say it lovingly, in heaven, or we'll spend it in hell. The dividing line goes right through every congregation, every village, every town, every city. We're either being one or the other. With the psalmist, what does he say? And it greatly exercised, dear Asaph, afterward. Receive me to glory. He will receive his dear people into glory. Why? Because he's purchased them with his own heart's blood. They're his. Dear Mr. Philpott said, and I often think about it, you know, especially concerning this text, there are two aspects of glory. The first aspect is to be with Christ without a veil between. He that has helped thee thus far, poor soul. He that has smiled upon thee. He that has so blessed thee. To be with him without a veil between. That's the first aspect. See him as he is. The second is to be free from all sin. And if you're freed, poor soul, from all sin, there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more darkness. God shall wipe away, it's a beautiful word, isn't it? All tears from their eyes. It'll be eternal joy. May that be our Lord.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening. Mr. Javis Rupp will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pont on Wednesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 343. If Jesus is ours, we have a true friend, whose goodness endures the same to the end. Our comforts may vary, our frames may decline, we cannot miscarry, our aid is divine. Hymn 343.
Thank you.
you, Lord, to come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts, to bless thy own word. May we not leave it on the chapel doorstep. May we know what it is for little to abide in our hearts. Lord, who guide us now and direct us each in every untrodden step of life's journey. And finally, take us home to glory as thou didst the dear psalmist. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.